Welcome to Net Support Radio. What are you waiting for? Join the discussion.
Okay, so hi, and I'm really pleased to introduce our first guest on the Net Support Radio Digital Strategy Podcast today, Mr. Nathan Allison. Nathan's Head of Operational Security at Daisy Corporate Services. Long list on Nathan's bio here. Nathan is a Certified Information Security Manager, over 20 years industry experience, and more than 16 of those have been focused on internet and cyber security. What better person to be talking about all things security in this day and age? Nathan, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a long list of things to talk about on security. As a starting point, perhaps a little bit of a background of your career and how you've arrived at this exciting point.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I've been with Daisy now for about 6 years. And I head up the operational security function, responsible for Daisy's customers' security. And recently we've been building a security operations centre, which I'm sort of getting off the ground at the moment. So that's sort of
keeping you out of mischief.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. So we've got a long list of topics to talk about, and some I hope we'll touch on where the focus might be with the current situation that we're all having to adapt to. But most of your topics are all around that kind of that broader sense of security. And I suppose a good starter for 10 is, can you give for all of our listeners and for me a bit of an overview on how you would define operational security?
Yeah, sure. So considering cybersecurity, it can generally be divided perhaps into sort of two categories. There's information security, which we've perhaps all heard of, which is, you know, perhaps policies and standards, regulatory compliance, audit. And then there's operational security, which is perhaps procedures and the governance of technical controls. I like the description that information security is the why and operational security is the how.
How it works, yep.
Yeah, so for example, a given control might say that you've got to implement a minimum password length, and the operational security might define that you use Microsoft Active Directory perhaps to implement the control on that password length and security complexity. So operational security would be the technical how.
Okay, that makes sense.
Operational security can provide sort of a number of perhaps defined parameters, but it's quite technical focused, and it perhaps would identify critical information. So where's the company's gold? You know, that might be your secret recipe. That might be the blueprints that your business make. It might be your customer list that might be your crown jewels. And so operational security can help identify, and once you know what your gold is, you can protect it properly. Operational security can help with the analysis of threats and vulnerabilities. Obviously, new threats and vulnerabilities come out daily. It can be a bit of a tidal wave at times, and so operational security can sort of think about identifying what threats and vulnerabilities and exploitations might be relevant to a given business, and help assess the cyber risks of those threats and vulnerabilities. And define perhaps the application of how to combat those, the countermeasures.
Okay, well, I mean, it's quite a long list, and we understand it's a broad and encompassing topic. So if we take the idea that we know where our kind of core and most important data is, and we know our threats and vulnerabilities and potential risks, what kind of frameworks might a business utilize to help keep their information a bit safer and more secure?
Yeah, well, there is no one size fits all, I'm afraid. But obviously, it depends on your business, doesn't it? Different industries, different sizes of business, the value of their crown jewels and what those crown jewels might be is gonna change depending on the business. But perhaps it's less well considered for smaller businesses, and so one of the things that I wanted to sort of put across today was the notion of utilizing control frameworks to help with this. And, you know, there's many different control frameworks, and you don't need to have the objective of of satisfying every part of a control framework if you're not mandated to do so, but utilizing control frameworks as a list almost to provide, to give an insight into what IT managers, cyber defenders, and CISOs should be thinking about how to protect various areas. And so, you demonstrate these compliance frameworks at the end by certificating against them. And there's many that do this. There's ISO 27000, which is a broad for business certification. Mm-hmm. There's a really good one from UK's the digital arm of GCHQ, Cyber Essentials. I think lots of people have heard of Cyber Essentials. It is an excellent sort of basic, perhaps five-step really program, and Daisy actively supports Cyber Essentials. We have that certificate ourselves, and we help many of our customers attain and move towards attaining that.
Do you think that's something that there's more focus on now, with organisations being more reliant on having their data accessible and shared online with a remote workforce?
That's absolutely true. Yes, and Cyber Essentials, one of its core things is that it can be utilised by any size of business, and the basic high level five principles are really quite straightforward. And it might be that businesses are doing these things but have never thought about them in the terminology of being a control framework. And so almost highlighting that you might be doing these things as a smaller business, but not perhaps putting them together as a single thing and thinking that is my Cyber Essentials compliance.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. So at a high level, the sort of the five key things of Cyber Essentials are your boundary, your internet gateways. How does your network get out of your network? That perimeter is obviously, it's the doors and windows of your house. You need to make sure that your perimeter is secure. And I suppose with today's situation and an extended workforce, perhaps you need to think that your perimeter has changed slightly. Might be food for thought there. Secure configuration is the next headline. So this is obviously making sure that what you're utilizing is done safely. And so make sure that you're, for example, with an extended remote workforce, that the machinery that they have, for example, is encrypted, because we're perhaps all experiencing data being slightly more outside of our organizations than we're used to. And so consideration about the security of the devices is obviously important.
So is that a key area where we might be thinking about, staff with laptops at home? If they're vulnerable, then they're going to introduce risk back into the core corporate network.
Well, that's absolutely true, yeah. And one of the lower points is malware protection, as one of the key five pillars of Cyber Essentials. And that's right, again, with a remote workforce, we need to make sure that the protections that we would offer our staff if they were working at their desks are the same as at home. That's right, yeah. Okay. Access control is another key pillar. And again, this is particularly relevant with an extended remote workforce. And this is just, this could be as simple as, do you have a password policy? What's your minimum password length? Passwords are, credential stealing is the root of the majority of malware. And so good password security is essential.
And would this be the point where you'd be talking to organizations about things like multi-factor authentication?
Yes, it would. And we're seeing a big increase in, helping customers with extended workforces, and enabling multi-factor authentication is one of the perhaps easiest but most effective methods of securing remote workers. Yeah, that's absolutely.
And in your experience, Nathan, how prevalent is that? How many organizations are setting that as a baseline now for their access control?
Well, it's ramping up all of the time, but worryingly, it's perhaps not ramping up at the same pace as as the extended workforce has had to over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so it is a consideration again for cyber defenders, IT managers and CISOs. You know, if you can enable multi-factor authentication, two-factor or multi-factor authentication, you will significantly improve your security.
Well, that's a good takeaway from today's conversation as a highlight, if nothing else, isn't it, is to have a focus on that, particularly where there might be opportunity for time to review system security in the broader context.
Definitely, yeah, and that's right, because as I mentioned, it could be that your perimeter has changed slightly with the extended remote workforce. So yeah, that does need consideration perhaps.
So we were talking about your pillars, and I think we were up to your fourth pillar, which you've touched on already, which was the malware protection.
Yeah, that's right. And so again, businesses, we've all heard the horror stories of ransomware wiping out businesses, and in the vast majority of cases, it could have been avoided if systems were kept up to date. So patch management is absolutely essential. And again, in these times, that might again need to be a consideration for IT managers and CISOs, because if we're in lockdown for months, then there will be patching cycles for people's machines that will need to be considered. So that does need consideration. But for the cyber essentials piece, once you've considered those sort of five key pillars, even if you weren't setting about originally to achieve cyber essentials, if you're considering this list and you work through the granular controls, you might find that without much effort, so to speak, you're there or thereabouts, and it can provide, as a control framework, a priority list almost of how you should approach gaps that you find, perhaps.
That makes sense. And there's different levels of cyber essentials as well, isn't there?
That's right. There's the cyber essentials and the cyber essentials plus. So cyber essentials is you can self-certificate at Cyber Essentials once you are satisfied that you reach the granular controls, that you can that you meet all of those controls, then you can apply for a Cyber Essentials certificate. Cyber Essentials Plus is when you have those controls externally verified. So an external auditor will come in and verify that you do meet the controls, and then you're awarded a Cyber Essentials Plus certification.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. I know you're going to talk to me about a topic that I have to say I have very limited knowledge of, but it sounds exciting. Adversary tactics, techniques, and common knowledge?
Yes. This was one of the main things that I wanted to talk about today. So this is a control framework, but in a slightly different fashion. This is a methodology and a program that's been developed by an American corporation called MITRE. We might be familiar with MITRE because they also run the Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures database and websites, the CVE, which is the sort of the scoring system that's now pretty much globally industry standard as a methodology of providing a score against a vulnerability, such that cyber defenders and organizations around the world can have a common understanding of just how serious or not serious a given vulnerability might be.
And I guess that standardization is quite key, isn't it?
Yes, you did say its name. It's Adversary Tactics, Techniques, and Common Knowledge, but they abbreviate it to ATT, ampersand CK, which, if you can imagine, it almost looks like the word attack. And so they called it the attack matrix. And so I think that we're going to increasingly hear more and more about this, because it's a live project. It's growing all the time. It has contributions from all of the major technology vendors around the world. And it's essentially a list of 12 almost dominoes that are the stages that attackers must go through to achieve their end results. And so if their end results are stealing data from an organization, then MITRE has defined, and it's been built on sort of a thing called the Lockheed Martin kill chain, which was a cyber defense plan developed by Lockheed Martin a couple of decades ago. And it defines almost dominoes of these sequences of events that attackers must go through to be able to, in this instance, perhaps steal your data. And within each of these almost dominoes, the technology providers are detailing methods that satisfy that domino that they have witnessed in the world being utilized by attackers. And so the first domino might be initial access. And so that might be reconnaissance, that might be probing, scanning the outside of your network. And then the next one might be access into your network. And then the next one might be achieving privilege escalation. And so these steps must be taken, and they can't be taken out of order by the attackers, by the bad guys. And so understanding this framework, understanding these controls, we're able to spot patterns, because we're able to see that, well, Cisco announced that this was one method of probing that they've seen. And so for the last 4-5 years, this has been developed, and it's being put into next generation technologies for the last couple of years, whereby next generation firewalls and intrusion detection systems and security events and incident management systems, SIEM systems, are able to interrogate and plug into this live growing database of, if you like, dominoes. And when they spot these patterns, they're able to alert and defend against attack. It really is a breakthrough in the global method of being able to analyze attacks, and it's going on in the background, but I think it's going to come increasingly into everybody's radar because it really is. I was speaking to the global head of threat hunting for a large cyber defender in the UK, and he described the attack framework, the attack matrix framework, as the most significant development in cyber defense for the last decade. And he is a chap who really knows. And so I wanted to share that with you, with listeners, in the first instance, perhaps.
That's really helpful. I think this is
going to take traction, and it's going to help us all, I hope.
I can understand how, and I think that domino structure is something that anybody involved in network management, whether they're specialism security or not, can understand that process and the need to follow those steps. Lots of this thing is about information, though, isn't it, ultimately? And that's the kind of key. So I think a good one to talk to you about is really about how information is the key to securing our information.
Well, yeah, and it absolutely is. And you know, the adage of we don't know what we don't know is utterly true in all of this sea of data. And it comes down to monitoring. You know, we need to understand what we've got. You know, and so we can utilize the controls from these various frameworks. And, you know, so for example, if a control says maintain an asset register, well, that makes perfect sense, of course, doesn't it? Because you need to know what you've got in order to be able to protect it. That might include, for example, a sensitive data asset register. You know, what is my gold? And perhaps pay special attention to monitoring that type of data. You know, and from the list of granular controls, you can it makes sense with the five pillars of cyber essentials that they're all fairly straightforward. Well, you know, when I read them out, none of those will be groundbreaking to anybody, that, you know, you need to protect your perimeter, that you need to patch your software. But with the granular controls within those frameworks can act as excellent aid memoirs or prompts, or, you know, the provide a sequence and a priority to how we tackle, like I say, the sea of data that we're faced with.
So you're really defining your policies based on those controls that you're picking up from the frameworks, aren't you?
Absolutely. And having policies, again, you know, it's perhaps an afterthought sometimes, but having policies that define your, you know, your password policy, you know, because, you know, these days, 8 characters is not a strong enough password. But many businesses that we see, you know, we help them with improving that security, because, you know, the control might say that, you know, each user should authenticate using a unique password and strong, a unique username, I beg your pardon, and a strong password. Have you told your users what a strong password looks like in your opinion, or actually not in your opinion, but in the opinion of, for example, the CSG or UK government? And all of that detail can be, well, it's easily provided within Cyber Essentials, for example, but it can also be found on the NCSC's website, for example. They have excellent password policy guidance on there. And using the control frameworks as a prompt for what policies should I have, can also be very useful for small businesses.
That makes perfect sense. I was waiting for a Donald Rumsfeld moment there about known knowns and known unknowns, but you've made it slightly clearer than he did, so thank you for that. We've talked about a few topics. I've got one last one to wrap up our session on today's podcast, which is really about, you've talked about those different frameworks, and I suppose it really is about how businesses can utilise those frameworks for operational security, and really it's about maturing the security, isn't it?
It is, and that is, you know, moving your security to a better place, improving your security maturity is absolutely a driving goal for all of us, for, you know, cyber defenders and IT managers and CISOs. And you know, there'll be many businesses that must operate within given frameworks. This is perhaps encouragement for all UK businesses to have a look at frameworks, and Cyber Essentials is an excellent starting point, and just utilize the controls as lists to help you. What should I be thinking about? What order should I be thinking about things in? And if you're making, you know, decisions about new technologies, you know, if things are need renewing and replacing or upgrading, consider the MITRE ATT&CK framework within those. Or you might have existing technologies that have next generation capabilities, perhaps on your perimeter, that are in fact able to interact with the MITRE ATT&CK framework. And again, that would improve security posture of your devices, because that framework is, like I say, it's a live and growing database.
Brilliant, thank you. So check out frameworks, make sure you get your passwords sorted out, have a think about your multi-factor authentication, and there's some good takeaways as a starting point from that, from our conversation, Nathan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you sharing your tips and ideas. Thank you so much, and have a good day, sir.
Thanks very much, Al.
Net Support Radio. Nothing else comes close.